I'm aware of the time. We'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Exodus, the 20th chapter. If anybody asks you, where are the Ten Commandments, you just tell them Exodus, the 20th chapter. And one of the commandments is found in verse number 12, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I try to exercise, and I take several vitamins every morning. They're gummy bears, so it's really nice. My only problem is not eating the whole thing, you know. I try to eat right. I try to do everything I can. But, you know, ultimately, our life is in the hands of God. And I look through the entire scripture. It says that bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit for some of you who hate it. But it says here, honor thy father and thy mother. I should have been saying this while our kids are still here. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the one thing that I see in the scripture to lengthen our lives is to honor our father and mother. Be respectful. And then if you'll turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, you say, well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. You know, it's not the same in the New Testament. Well, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. First commandment. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So God is saying again, you know, we're honoring mothers, and in just a couple of weeks we'll be honoring fathers, but there isn't anything you can do in order to prolong your life than to honor a father and a mother. And sometimes there are people who, well, they have disagreements with parents, but nevertheless, it doesn't say if you agree with them in everything, then honor them. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning. We are grateful that we're feeling what we're feeling in here, and we're grateful for every person that is in this place. The appointment has been set by you, and we're in a place that is holy ground. We ask your blessing upon it. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to turn to John, the 3rd chapter. I said to the men yesterday, and it was mainly men here for prayer yesterday, it was a pitiful sight, just all of us guys here. Without you women, it really does make a difference. I said, you know, mom is just wow upside down. Some of you, if you can come and see me later, I'll explain that. But mom, it's all about giving birth. That's why you're a mom. You know, I'll explain that to you too later if you have any difficulty. But John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He's embarrassed because he had his own set of rules. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And you'll notice that Jesus didn't answer him in the way he wanted him to answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the religious man, saith unto him, now, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." So he was talking about this birth. And what is in the natural is also in the spirit. And of course, we relate it to a lady giving birth. There's a breaking of the water, and then there is a taking in of the breath for the first time, and we're waiting for the baby to cry. Well, we do the same thing in the spirit. We break the water in baptism for the remission of our sins, and then as we take in the breath of God, we make a sound, and it's all about this birth. It parallels. It's not the same, but it parallels. I've been driving down Emerson on a regular basis on my way to Starbucks. I don't know. There's only addiction I have is coffee. And there's this little church on C and Emerson, and it always has cute little sayings on their marquee. And this week I looked and it says, "Baptism is for the washing away of sins, Acts 2 and 38, Acts 22 and 16. And it almost took my breath away. I got so excited, I just wanted to stop, run in, talk to the pastor. Because I never thought that they had the revelation that baptism is for the wash. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless your sins are washed away. You can't be a mother unless you give birth. 600 university students were asked to write a most faithful word in the English language, the most important. 422 wrote mother, 112 wrote home. Mother, the keeper of home. That's basically what the mother does. And I know that doesn't line up well with today's society, you know. I was able to survive this last 3 days without my wife. One lady who wasn't able to go to the ladies' retreat had pity on me and brought me food for 3 days, and through that I've survived. I noticed that Culver stock went down quite a bit. Our dog sat at the back door staring at the door waiting for my wife. Obviously, I was inadequate in order to take care of the dog during that time. 46 years ago today, we were married, and for the last 36 years, I've been sharing her with Ladies Retreat, 1,000 ladies, and thank God next year it's going to be changed. Genesis 2 and 18 records the first not good in the Bible. You've heard me say this before. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Now the word help and the word meet are the same word in the Hebrew language, meaning to surround, protect, and to aid. And so God created all of the earth in 6 days, and he said, "Whoop, wait, there's one thing. This is not good. He's all by himself." I believe the same is true. It parallels to God is in heaven. He's got everything going for him, but you know what? If he doesn't have a people to share it with, you could have the best home in the world. You could have all of the financing, but you got to be able to share it with someone. Now, most of us men don't want to admit that our wives protect us, but it's scriptural. Left alone, we could hurt ourselves. Genesis 2 and 24, God said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave or cling to or catch by pursuit, cleave unto his wife, that they shall be one flesh." So what God is saying, we have to leave our mother, we have to leave our father and cling to our wife, and that we become one flesh. One flesh, we don't do well when a part of our flesh is missing. Psalms 56 and 8 says, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" In other words, God collects every tear that we shed. He collects them, and they're a permanent record like a book. In another place, it talks about how God also collects our worship, if you will. Revelation 5 and 8 says, there are golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And the word odors here mean the burning or sacrifice of service of oneself. And so who sacrifices more in service to family than a mother? God collects this selfless service and prayers to keep forever, because prayers and worship never die. They're always alive. And I think especially those of mothers who give themselves for God and give themselves for family, and it's such a high position. 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we talked about how we need to honor our mothers and our father, and now it addresses husbands and how they need to honor their wives as a weaker vessel. Not that she is weaker, but one of the conclusions is that your prayers aren't hindered. Because if you don't treat her like that, according to this, God's saying, hey, listen, I'm not listening to your prayers until you get to the place where you treat your wife right. Amen. Glory to God. They're not the weaker vessel, folks. Women, on an average, live 10 years longer than men. They are able to endure more pain than men could ever endure. If we had to go through 9 months of pregnancy, we'd have to have a general anesthetic first. I changed a diaper once, and it was not a pretty thing. But there's a sensitivity to women that men will never have, and a natural nurturing that is a part of their DNA. And when you look up the word mother in the Bible, the Hebrew definition says the bond of the family, the one who keeps it all together, the one who sets the atmosphere in the home. There's a great responsibility to set an atmosphere in this church. And everyone has that responsibility. You know, that's going to hinder somebody. And you know what? When the husband comes home, you know, there has to be an atmosphere. And I'll tell you, I've seen good atmospheres, and I've seen some atmospheres that weren't so good. She keeps it all together and sets that atmosphere at home as well as in the church because of her sensitivity to God. And we saw that void here yesterday because there were not many women here. Glory to God. Here's Revelation. New evidence by Dr. Blanchi of the New England Medical College has verified that a mother carries the blood cells from each of her children. So as she gives birth to her children, the blood cells of that child actually are a part of her, not just until she delivers, but forever and ever. Research shows that when a mother carries her unborn child, there is a sharing of blood cells back and forth between the child and the mother. A mother not only gives life to her child, but she receives something in return, the child's blood cells, and the immunity that a newborn baby has now is also passed to the mother. Glory to God. Listen, she receives a part of her child that she carries with her for the rest of her life. And even though a child may leave home, and even though a child may die, there is still a part of that child that is a part of the mother. I find that absolutely incredible, you know? Fathers aren't in that same situation. Dr. Blanchi says that when a mother is so sick that her own immune system cannot fight off the disease, it is thought that fetal cells linger in the mother's bloodstream to save the mother. A child may leave home, but a child will never leave the mother. Or a part of the child still courses through the veins, perhaps even to save her. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. First 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 13, it says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." So some women find that there is new life because of new life, you know? It gives a greater meaning to their life because they gave life to somebody. We're also talking about somebody who's in the church, the mother of all spiritual life. There is new life because we give new life to somebody who has never had truth, you see. Some months ago, I was talking to a lady who continually was grieving for a son that had died some years ago. She's very distraught, and oh yes, one day she'll be able to see her son in a reunion in a much better place, but part of her son still lives in her as his mother. What a comfort to know that children that are separated from mom by death or even other circumstances still live in her through childbearing. That's what the Bible says. Does this mean that Mary and each of us are saved through the birth of Jesus? The blood of Christ remains in the mother, which is the church. Paul said that women are saved by accepting their role as mother. This world doesn't believe that. They discount the role of mother as unimportant, that really, why don't you get a career? What greater career could there possibly be than raising a family and nurturing their children? I mean, I've seen lists of if you paid her according to what she does, she'd earn like $180,000 a year based on all of the different roles that she takes care of. Eve's attention had been focused on what the world had to offer. Take a look at that tree. But through childbearing, she focused on what she could offer the world. Church, staying focused on spiritual births brings healing to the church. If we're just maintaining our family, folks, there just won't be the life that we need to have in this place. But the real life comes by giving birth. I'm talking about spiritual birth, and you can have a spiritual baby at 86 years old. You can have a spiritual baby at 10 years old. You know, the laws of nature do not confine us to the new births in church. Hallelujah. The church must embrace the role of the mother in reaching the lost. Those that are born again because of the witness and because of the teaching brings health and vitality to every saint within the church. I'm feeling a little down. I just don't have the excitement. Well, why don't you have a baby? Oh, I know there's some difficulty in having babies. There's some morning sickness, and yeah, there's calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. I never want you to talk about diapers in this church again, all right? but, you know, that's where the life is. That's where the life is. Solomon said in Proverbs 31 that children will rise and call their mothers blessed. There is a blessing that comes later in a mother's life after they've gone through what they have gone through. I have great, great, great grandchildren in this church. Someone I taught a Bible study to, that taught a Bible study to, that taught a Bible study to, that taught a Bible study to. And for me to see how they have developed and matured as Christians is one of the greatest blessings there. If you haven't had a spiritual baby, I'm telling you, you're missing out on the greatest event in the entire world. There are other denominations that simply say, come to church. No, no, we don't say just come to church. We say, why don't you get active and have a baby? You know? There's no birth control in this church. Spiritual birth control I'm talking about. Because somebody's just going to cut that section out of the DVD. Why do women live longer than men? They got half the muscle, you know, and we're just focused on facts and, you know, many theories. But one theory is that they stay involved with the lives of their children and have more to live for than men do. Here's a question. Who was greater, Thomas Edison or Thomas Edison's wife, mother? When Thomas was in grade school, the teacher sent him home with a note. It said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." And Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You don't understand and you don't love my child. I will teach him at home by myself." And as a result, Thomas Edison gave light to the entire world. You know what? We have greater capabilities than what this world has. They're putting us down over and over. You know nothing. We know about the light of the world. Hallelujah. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers have a much greater role in the world than any kind of businessman would ever have. And maybe that's part of the problem, is we've gone into careers rather than investing in the more important issues of life and treating our kids. No, you can't make another law and have kids respond. You can't open up another recreation center. What they really need is a mom and a dad that want to invest in their kids over and over, that their life would be prolonged by God. "Oh, my parents don't know nothing." Well, I don't know. How long are you going to live? Hallelujah. Because moms shape the lives of the future generation. The church is considered the mother of all born-again saints, and we have the greatest role on the face of the earth. When people are born again, God's royal blood flows in their veins. So what we're saying is part of our blood cells are passed on to the ones that we give birth to. You know what? The ones that I have won to the Lord through Bible studies, you know what they're doing? They're teaching Bible studies, and their babies are teaching Bible studies, and they're excited about worshiping because they have some of the same blood cells, same DNA that I have. Lord, why do we have kids in the first place? They're such a pain in the neck so many times. Well, I'll tell you why. Because we want them to look like us and act like us, walk like us and talk like us. We want part of us to be prolonged to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And God wants to have children that look like him and act like him and talk like him and walk like him. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to get too spiritual. I don't want to be like God. I don't want to be like my father. I don't want to be like my mother, the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want them to take on the same values. And even though the rest of the world texts and plays games on their phones in the middle of the church, no. God is more serious. Hallelujah. When people are born again, there's something that flows through their veins. We are and continue to be saved through childbearing if we continue in the faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. I think sometimes we just don't have the length of days because we're not involved in sharing what we have with another generation. There are mothers in this church who have never given birth, but they've been great soul winners. And God has blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. I read about a woman who called a friend to see how she was doing because she wasn't feeling well, and a lot of things are going on in her life. Sounds like some of the things that we heard this morning. And the woman said, how are you doing? She said, terrible. My head is splitting. My back is killing me. The house is a mess and the kids are driving me crazy. Does that sound like anybody in here? Her friend said, listen, I want you to go lay down. I'm going to come over there. I'm going to make some food for you and your family. And then while you're laying down and getting some rest, I'm going to clean your house. I'm going to get some things squared away. And she said, by the way, how's your husband Sam doing? And the woman said, my husband's name isn't Sam. And the woman said, oh no, I've got the wrong number. And there was a great pause. And then she said, does this mean you're not coming over? You know what? There's a whole world out there who has a splitting headache and a breaking back. There's a whole world out there that is being driven crazy by all of the problems and all of the situations. Is there a mother in the house? Is there somebody who could reach out to them and say, listen, I'm going to give you a meal. I'm going to try to clean your house up from some of the things that are going on. And I don't care what your husband's name is. I'm coming over. Amen. Thank God for mothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want just the mothers to stand up this morning. Glory to God. Look around and now let's give them all a hand clap. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Could we all stand now? I was going to ask all those who are spiritual mothers to stand, but we'll deal with that another time. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the church? Amen. I believe because of all of these ladies going to ladies' retreat, it's changed the atmosphere in our church. It really has. And we're grateful that you paid the price, went, had a great time. Glory to God. Can we give a hand clap to God now? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to open this altar. Why don't you come and just thank him? Amen. And we'll look forward to seeing you later.